Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence and You, Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I am your host, Rebecca Miller, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. And of course, the fabulous radio show producer, Christina Liu. We've been talking with Mike Utaro all about fire safety and just a lot of information that you've been providing. So we're really grateful for all the information. And then we were kind of, I know Otto had a question right before break. So Otto, if you want to just kind of give a quick little.
Yeah, we talk about academy. For training for the probies, as you put it, and it seems like it's an ongoing facility. I was just curious as to where it is and how big it is, and you know, is it every day? Is it training somebody every day, kind of thing?
Yeah, the Fire Service Academy for Nassau County is actually out in Old Bethpage. It's nestled between the cement factories, garbage dump, and the Bethpage golf course. It's been there for many years. It's trained thousands of firefighters. It's staffed by a full-time chief instructor and deputy chief instructor and office staff. All their other instructors are per diem, and they work there. They work other jobs. We have many city firefighters, New York City firefighters. Firefighters from here in Nassau, they take a test to be an instructor. And we have a wealth of talents. We've had some of the best instructors you can ask for. But they're out there and they actually teach these classes. The academy runs the hands-on courses when they actually light the fires pretty much about 5 days a week. They do weekend courses and weekday courses throughout the entire year, even in the winter months when we're not training outside. So they come to the individual firehouses to teach these courses. The unique thing about the buildings we have that they don't have in a lot of other places is they actually light live fires. They have pans of oil with pallets of wood that they light the room on fire. It's controlled to that pan, but it gives a lot of the same type of characteristics that you would see inside of a home or business. So we get fire. We have the Merchant Marines come to train on a mock-up of a ship. So they learn how to fight shipboard fires. But it's a very unique place. We have firefighters that visit from overseas, from Germany and other locations, just for the experience of actually going in. A lot of other academies use propane and theatrical smoke. This is real disgusting smoke and real hot fires. And we'd like to say that our volunteers out here get a leg up on everybody else because of the fact of that situation and that environment they're put in to learn how to suppress a fire. But again, it's a great academy, a lot of dedicated people out there, and I think they keep everyone top notch here in Nassau.
You know, it's
Mike,
interesting.
I live right by that area, so I pass it a lot. You know, and there's that one building, and it's always on fire. I mean, you guys are always putting. How is that building still standing after?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, they're not cheap, those buildings. The county owns the facility, and yeah, the Vocation Education Extension Board, which is like a school district, runs it. They're budgeted through Nassau County through tax dollars to run these courses. But those buildings were just recently, we call it the dwelling fire, and there's a mock-up of a store, like your basic downtown stores. Those were just replaced, and they were a couple of $1 million to you know, their special construction was cement and coated cement and steel. And yes, you're right. They burn them over and over and over again. In fact, there's a little observation area. If you're ever in the area on a weeknight, you can go out there. You have to stay in that observation area, but you can actually watch what they're doing.
That's interesting. I was in the Navy, and part of boot camp was you had a, like you mentioned, what made me think about it is the Merchant Marine training and shipboard and whatnot. I ended up on an aircraft carrier. But the point I'm getting at is we had to have like 2 days of firefighting training in Navy boot camp, which I remember very little of, to be blunt about it. But what I do remember is having to go through a building that it was burning and had smoke from one end to the other. And this was in the 50s. So we probably didn't worry too much about what we inhaled at the time. But that was a scary experience by itself, just going through the building with all the smoke. I can still remember getting through on the other end and the feeling, which was not a very good feeling. My point is that I didn't realize you also get involved with training things like people who for boats, like merchant marines. So the scope of what your department is involved with is much bigger than most people realize.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a great facility. We actually have a Long Island Railroad car. It's the Louis Skeeta training facility. He was a former chief fire marshal of the Long Island Railroad. And it has a platform. It has the train car. And both the fire service and the police department actually train on it for, you know, if you had a train accident, which we had a few, about a year or two ago, we had in Westbury with the derailment that they actually had. And the training on that train car was so pivotal to the training that, you know, the firefighters utilized that day to gain access and help rescue. I think it was almost 1,500 passengers off the trains to evacuate after that accident. We have propane. They have the propane barbecues, just like you have in your yard, that they simulate a leak in a fire. So they have to go in there under a hose stream to stop the leak and shut the tank off. It's a lot of very interesting stuff out there. So hopefully the community rest assured that your firefighters are very well trained thanks to this academy.
So, you know, Senior Talk Radio, here we are. There's a lot of, you know, obvious safety protocol for people of all ages. So, but, you know, we're Project Independence and, you know, of course, we service people 60 and over in the town of North Hempstead. Before we get into other avenues of safety, I'm curious, I'm always, you know, concerned about carbon monoxide. And also because it's, you know, you can't smell it, you don't know it's happening unless you have an alarm. And, you know, I think for seniors, it's even more frightening. Can you talk a little bit about the best way to avoid a catastrophe with carbon monoxide and maybe some of the things that, you know, seniors could do in their home to be aware of it and even understand what would actually cause a carbon monoxide leak? I mean, maybe people don't even realize that some of their appliances or their oil burner or, you know, what appliances and devices in the home, you know, to be wary of.
I guess the biggest thing in your home that causes carbon monoxide issues is your boiler or your furnace. And the best way to make sure that that is operating correctly and exhausting the fumes and the byproducts of combustion service once a year. That's what actually, it sounds so simple, but it really is that simple.
Right.
Once a year, you should have your company come in, service company, make sure they run the boiler, make sure there's no leaks. They have their own meters that they bring in. Make sure that your flue pipe is clear. I actually, in my own home, was having a problem with the boiler. I brought somebody in and I realized that over time, most homes that are built, at least older homes, they're built with a clay or a terracotta type insert in your chimney. And over time, when you switch to gas, because gas burns differently, natural gas caused this to come apart. And actually, and it doesn't happen always, so I don't want to alarm anybody, but in my case, the terracotta insert in my chimney collapsed into the chimney and it actually blocked off the flue. So it was expensive, but I had to get the aligner replaced in my chimney. The service company came in and cleaned everything out and made it good. But one of the reasons that I realized that happened is my carbon monoxide detector started to chirp intermittently. And I was curious that there was a problem. So I investigated and I brought somebody in. And that's what we advocate. If you have a problem with your carbon monoxide detector, and if you go out and buy another one and that problem still exists, it's time to bring somebody in and have them check these things out.
Mike, I understand that now. I just put one in, or several actually. 10-year battery, dual smoke detector, carbon monoxide detector. Is that something you know you would recommend, or what's recommended as your approach to the detectors?
Well, the dual unit is a great unit, the smoke and carbon monoxide detector. But just having detectors in is important enough. because of the fact that just to have them in place and make sure these 10-year battery units are fantastic. Too many times you always hear whenever you have to change your clocks, change your batteries. People do that, but you know, daily life gets in the way and you forget. You put these 10-year sealed battery units in. I'd advocate you take a Sharpie marker and write on the outside the year that you put it in. And when you take a look at it, make sure things are happening correctly. Check that date out. And you know, when that 10 years, and 10 years sadly flies by too quickly these days, you know, you replace that unit. But the carbon oxide, make sure you have one. The thing that people do that's the biggest mistake is they put it by the boiler or they put it in the garage. It's going to probably go off in there because you're right in proximity to the unit putting off that gas. Where they really should be is where you sit and watch TV, where you read, where you sleep, the most important thing. Even where sleeping may occur, which is actually written in the code. So if many times, like myself, I sit in the chair watching the ball game and I'll fall asleep. I don't sleep down there all night, but it's good to have where you can hear it going off on the regular floors, especially the sleeping floors. And the code says that these devices should be within about 15 feet of where you sleep. So when they do go off, they can awaken you. And they go off at such a low level of carbon monoxide detection. It gives you the time to react, call the fire department to come in with their more sophisticated meters to try to trace out where that CO may be coming from. But if you have it in a basement stairwell and the door is closed and you're on the second floor sleeping, and if you're a heavy sleeper, you may not, even if that initiates because it detects the problem, you may not hear it. So make sure it's always within earshot. And if you have someone living with you in the home or somebody comes to visit, if you're living home alone, go to your bedroom, lay down and have them press the button and have the door closed. And if you can't hear it, maybe you need to get another one. This way you you always have that safety device nearby.
Right. What about a thing like a fire extinguisher? Do you recommend having a fire extinguisher in your home or maybe even more than one? And
Well, first and foremost, you want to make sure you have your carbon monoxide like we talked about, and of course your smoke detectors. So before you graduate the fire extinguishers, make sure you have at least some working smoke detectors in your house. And working smoke detectors, so everyone knows, it's not just new homes, it's new and existing. And that's the law. They should be in every bedroom. They should be in that little foyer area if you have one just outside the bedroom, and then at least one on every floor. And they do make them if you happen to have to replace your detectors and get new ones. They can only be sold now in 10-year sealed battery. And they make devices that you can buy a kit that they speak to each other. So if the smoke detector in your bedroom goes off, it'll start sounding in the living room as well because they are connected by radio. Those are great systems to have. Or you can actually, and it gets expensive, obviously, you can have a hardwired system that connects all the devices, they beep together. Once you have that in place, so at least if you're sleeping, it detects smoke and gets you and your family out safely. As you were asking about the fire extinguisher, get a portable fire extinguisher. I usually recommend get a 5-pound size extinguisher. Those little tiny cylinder ones that you see on people's boats and on the trunk of their car, they're great, but oftentimes they can malfunction. So I would get a 5-pound extinguisher. Something you can lift is important. We went to a person's house once. They had a 20-pound.
Yes. Let's continue with this information. We actually have to take a break. We will continue with our guest, Mike Utero. He's been talking about fire safety. You're listening to Private Independence and You on 88.1 FM and WCWE.org. We will be right back.